our next session. Lovely. So this is on a topic that is very interesting to many, many people in this room, particularly producers of blue and aged cheeses. And so I'm really delighted to welcome two experts in the field in this next session. The first one is Igor Baroja from Spain, who's going to tell us about some of his studies there.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you for inviting me here to and give us the opportunity to do this conference. So, yeah. Thank you. Before starting to the study itself, I would like to show you a little bit how this study came to us. And for that, I will explain you first our research center, then the problems that the producer are facing right now. And after that, we explain the research and the next step that we are going to do, okay? So for those that are not familiar with SNECI, the Dairy Center, we are a research center in the north of Spain that our main work, it's all applied research in the dairy center, in dairy products and cheese. So we help developing new cheeses, characterizing cheeses and dairy products also. But one of the of our work is to try to solve technological problems that they are facing right now. So, yeah. The thing is that I want to explain the whole study like a story, just to be all aware that the problem that they are having. So the first thing is that the milk that in the Basque Country are producing, for decades they were working with sheep milk, but with cow milk, all the milk was decided to do it for sell like a drinking milk product, not for use for cheese making. That's why they are having some issues with, because the milk is not ready with the microbiologically or physical chemically ready to be transformed into a cheese. So there are a lot of problems because the microbiota that are coming in with the milk, it's also going to be the responsible for the undesirable problems and defects in the cheeses. It's true that the young producers are trying to, instead of selling this milk, trying to produce their own milk, and they start working, and it's true that they have done a lot of work, but it is true also that there is a lot of work still ongoing, because, for example, they have to improve the management of the cows, they have to also improve the feeding strategies and things like that. So we want to show here the problems that they are facing with the quality of the milk that they are having. Normally, we used to see this type of gas-related defects because, for example, there are some type of cheeses that they need this gas production bacteria to have this structure or this type of cheeses. But when this gas production starts in a different stage or irregularly or in a different way, we start getting these defects that we are not supposed to have. For example, this type of cracks, irregular eyes, or even small pockets, scarp. So normally, to see what is the problem, why are this problem, gas problem, happening, we put a usual suspect, that it's a Clostridium tirobutyricum, that everyone say that it's that the problem. This Clostridium tirobutyricum appears in dairy products, also have the metabolism to create gas. They produce CO2 and hydrogen, so they are accumulating this gas in the inside of the cheeses. This this create an internal pressure on the cheese and finally create these cracks and usual things. But the thing is that we are not detecting the whole defects that are related with this Clostridium tyrobutyricum, because it is true that the tyrobutyricum, it has a butyric fermentation, and also it gives like these flavors, these butyric flavors that are so characteristic of this type of bacteria. So in the all the defects that we are seeing also gas-related defects, but not all related to those butyric fermentation. Also, when we start sensing like these burning flavors, that it's more biogenic amine-related or histamine-related flavors. So our question was, okay, if it's not the tyrobutyricum, which is the other another microorganism that could be like involved in this type of defects? So this is our new suspect. And I have to, bueno, I'm calling every time Lactobacillus parabogeneri, but the scientific name, like the real name, it's Lentilactobacillus parabogeneri. I don't know how in English how to pronounce, but it's kind of like that. So I have to thanks also to Agroscope, because, well, Stephen is in here, because they have a lot of research about this bacteria, and they share a lot of information how to work with this bacteria, so this research has started with that. But it's a bacteria that it's also appear in cheese-associated bacterium. It has an heterofermentative, it have the pathways to create gas and also create histamines. That's it. So it was the new suspect, and we want to address our problems to this type of bacteria. The thing is that we want to see how the... here are the one pathway to create this histamine through the histidine descarboxylation. So it creates some histamine that gave that burning flavor, and also creates the gas. So the gas thing, say, did like that. The gas accumulated, internal pressure, it cracks and gets this defect. So now we have these two things in this bacteria, and it could be one possible. But we want to do this research not only having this information, we want to go a little bit more further. So here comes our hypothesis. Like, okay, the Lentilactobacillus parabogeneri, it's linked with the histamines and also with accumulation of the defects. Okay, we think that if we have more parabogeneri, we also will have more histamine, so that's a spicy or burning flavor, and also these gas-related defects or cracks and things. But to address this hypothesis, our objective was to have the entire thing, so we address this problem with three, like, okay, chemically, what is happening in the cheese? And then we want to know if really the Lactobacillus parabogeneri was there or not. And finally, we want to see the whole picture. We want to know if the whole bacterial communities are changing or not because of this. So we start doing the research. How? We take samples from cheeses. They were all hard or semi-hard cheeses, all elaborated in our center from 2025 and 2026. And we start collecting information like the phenotype, all the visual defect. We take pictures. If they are that burning flavors or that, we take notes. If we think that will have histamines or not. And also we add to this defective cheeses, also some cheeses that are okay, like reference cheeses to have to compare them. So as I tell you, we want to address with three analytical approaches. The first one is if there is an histamine, so we quantify histamines with HPLC and other biogenic amines too, but in this case we are focusing only in histamines. Then we analyze by qPCR the parabogeneri. And for that proposal, we take two genes. One gene specifically is a species gene, and another one that is This histamine creating descarboxylation gene that also will have more information because there are not all, because all, well, that's like that. And for the third proposal, we want to see the whole microbiome, well, bacterium, analyzing the 16S RNA. So the first answers comes here. So we are taking those burning flavors. Okay, these burning flavors were correlated to the histamine higher concentration or not. So as we can see, the main finding of these results were that. The major part of the samples that has a more spiciness, more burning, they have more histamines. But not all, but not every time. Like for example, I put here the 23rd, I don't know if it's, yeah, here, yeah. The 23rd cheese, it's true that this cheese is a little bit special because this cheese came from 2024 and it's a little bit 8 years, so maybe it has another problem because it has no histamine, but it was so burning or so, yeah, spicy. But for the rest, it don't has like super straight because there are not a lot of samples too, but we get like a tendency, no? They are more burning, they have more histamines. So for the first clue and the result, it was okay, like, okay, it is spicy, it has some histamines on it. But the second one was to see if there are that Lactobacillus parabacteri. And for that, I explained to you that we are checking two different genes by qPCR. So the green one was the gene that are related to the histamine production. And the other one, the blue, it's a specific species gene. So as we can see, it's not so clear that the samples that has much more genes are more spicier, but we can see that some of them it's okay and the other ones not. And also, for example, for the first three, we can see that the gene that it's related to the histamine production is higher than the gene of specific lactobacillus. That's why we think that this gene, it's not only in this species. Maybe there are other bacteria that also has this capability of producing histamines. So now what we want to know if really are related the histamine production and these genes. So we do that. We put them in the same plot and try to search a correlation between histamines and the parabacteri existence. So the results apparently they are correlated, and also they are more correlated with Lactobacillus itself than the gene that it's supposed to give the characteristic of creating these histamines. As you can see, the p values are lower than 0.05, so they are correlated. And also, I think that if we have more samples, because we are starting, we have also to analyze the samples from 2026, so there will be more data, and I suppose that it will be like straight better, but we don't know. So at the beginning, we can say that, okay, the histamine and the spicy flavor are related, and now we can see that the spicy that the histamines and also the bacteriums are correlated. And the final part was to see if these bacteria are also changing the whole microbiota. So I don't know if it's clear here, but I put in red, like here, the Lentilactobacillus, that is the parabacteri, to show you that like we found some parabacteri by qPCR, and we are finding them also using this technique, that it's more complex and you have more information. And here we didn't find different species that are correlated with histamine production or with or the spicy flavor. But we have still a lot of samples to take, and let's see if in the future we found another species. But the thing of this graphic, I don't know if you know a little bit, earlier we saw that, like something like that. But in each bar, you have the sample information, and then you have, by color, the species that we found there. So the mainly species that we are finding are those that we use to create these cheeses. The culture or the starter cultures that we have used to produce this cheese. But this is true that also appears some Brevibacterium in all the cheeses. We don't rip all the cheeses with Brevibacterium, but it's true that they are in the same chamber, so maybe cross-contaminations will occur, and it appears that there are. And also other species that comes from the raw milk also appear, like Staphylococcus, etc. So this gives us like the whole vision of our cheeses, then to see what happens here. So is the Lactobacillus parabuccinerii really the responsible of these flavors with these burning flavors? So apparently it all line up. Okay, the flavors are aligned with the histamines, and the histamines are related to the parabuccinerii. So okay, we can say that yes, but there are some bacteria, some cheeses, some samples that also has this high level of parabuccinerii and has not any burning flavor. So it is true that that they are associated, but we cannot say that they are specifically creating that. And a lot of variables have to be considered. The type of cheese, how they technologically, all the steps that they follow. The rest of the bacteria that are competing each other. So we need a lot of samples, much more samples, to say clearly that there is specifically this pathway and it's creating. But maybe we can find other interactions with the bacteria that helps to describe this process. So our next steps. Okay, as I told you, we have the 2025 samples already analyzed, but we want to start with the samples of 2026. First, we have to wait a little bit to rip the cheeses, but then we will take the samples. And we will be also doing the same analysis in all of them, mix everyone and see if there are more correlation, if not, and things like that. Also, we want to see and characterize this histamine producing or not, because there are lactobacillus that are not creating these histamines. They have no gene that enables them to create this histamine. So we have to follow a little bit more characterizing those strains. Also, there are a lot of detection methods for this type of bacteria, but we are trying to improve them, to analyze them at the beginning, at the milk, at the raw milk. So, for example, there are some microbiological analysis that we can do, but now we are trying to improve them, to use like a qPCR to analyze the start, like the milk, and having how many or how the concentration of the lactobacillus, if we can predict if they will have or not these type of spicy flavors. So we are capable right now to detect 10 UFC, culture formation units, for this type of bacteria in raw milk. So it's a good starting, so we will continue with that. And yeah, and I have to say that this is all like a cooperation with microbiology, because I'm not a microbiologist, but in cooperation with the other laboratory, we are like creating something easily detectable or something so quick. So that's all our conclusions will be. Like the gas and sensory defects in artisan teas are not all explained with tyrobutyric acid, because there are other defects, as I explained, the burning flavor and things like that. We can say, as we see, that if there are more histamines also, they have more burning flavors, that the cheeses, that sometimes in the same sample we have a more histamine producing capability than the lactobacillus itself, so maybe there are other bacteria that are involved in this process. It is true that 16S doesn't give us another clue to see if there are other bacteria that are here involved, but we will continue doing that. And we can say that the L. parabacteria is a strong suspect, and we have to continue researching and see if it's a cause or not. And that we are doing the new detection protocols to be faster and go quick. So that's all. Thank you, everyone. And if you have any. Yes.
How correlated is the cracking with L.
parabacteria? Yes, we are correlating the burning flavors, but for the crackings, we have some big cracks in some specific cheeses that are not the spiciest.
So it's spicy and cracks.
Yes, that's it. The spicy and crack, it has to be like they're most related with the histamines or the parabacteria. But it is true that not always happens like that. Sometimes we have this this small pockets that are more related with this lactobacillus than the cracks.
In our hard cheddar, we would see more the cracks than the
really?
Little
pockets. Yeah, maybe. These are not cheddar. Cooked cheeses, I don't know. Yeah, I think it were cooked cheeses.
How long
is it? I don't know. I'm a lab technician. No information about the, I'm sorry.
I guess the maddening thing about cheese samples is it's possible to have more than one spoilage bacterium in them at the same time. So there's the unfurling of that. David?
Do you know where it comes from in the environment?
Sorry? In the environment, we suppose that they come in from the milk,
okay.
But we don't know yet. What?
I think we're going to hear more about that in our next session
yeah.
as well.
Uh-huh.
Other questions right now? Should we jump on to Stefan? Oh, nope. Karen.
I don't know. No, yeah, that's it. If they have not this burning flavor, we suppose it's Clostridium tirobutyricum. But it's true that the tirobutyricum has this butyric fermentation in his metabolite. So all the flavors that we are going to have are these butyric flavors. So we can differentiate one from the other. But we will get these cracks or this late blowing in the cheeses with this type of bacteria, yeah.
Thank you.